This podcast will contain spoilers about the Captain America movie. But I think it's a pretty good substitute to watching the movie because, like, we do funny voices every once in a while. Also, my microphone, this is the first time using this new setup, and I think I had my microphone volume way too high, so please ignore any weird sounds that my mic makes. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to episode 50 of the Legendary Frogcast. I am your host, Joseph Blanchett, and with me is occasional co-host, Randy Keepers.
Hi! I'm not dead!
You're not dead, you're actually here, and if you hear something in the background, it's that Furby that you're keeping in the closet.
Yep, it's my pride and joy when the company got around.
Hopefully we don't hear it. Like, before the recording, we just heard, ha ha, tickles! I'm like, what are you doing to that Furby? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there it goes.
So I won't ask any questions about why you have a child's toy.
I have a wife now, so I think I can blame it on my wife nowadays.
So all the toys you had before, you're not blaming on your wife?
No, because my toys are distinctly masculine, except for Furby.
Are there any My Little Pony toys? You can be honest.
No, we don't have any My Little Pony toys. Mm. Nope. We got, like, a whole shelf of Marvel crap, and, like, a whole shelf of Legos, and then, like, a whole shelf of assorted comic book characters. Oh, the Furby's going to sleep, man. There he goes.
Sleep, Furby.
Sleep, sweet Furby.
It's all right. Everything's okay now.
Shh. Sleep. It's fine. Shh. It's always supposed to be.
You have to whisper, not to wake up. Yeah, if we ever hear the term "be quiet," my Fergie is sleep. My Fergie is a Furby.
My Fergalicious is sleeping.
Be quiet, Fergie is sleeping. I guess you've done something. I guess you've done something right in your life if you have to say that.
Fergie's sleeping. She's got a hangover. good times.
The Furby movie starring Fergie.
Furbalicious.
Furbylicious.
That's what I said. I said that.
Yeah. Okay. What were we doing? Right. We were going to talk about the Captain America movie.
Good work, soldier. Mm.
So let's recap the journey to the Avengers here.
Oh, yes.
Started with Iron Man. Iron Man was awesome.
Yep. And then it was the Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk was pretty awesome.
You're right, it was. And then it was Iron Man 2 next?
It was Iron Man 2, and that's when they really started to push the whole Avengers thing.
Yeah, that's when they started, like, you know, hey, you remember this character? Yeah, that's right. Oh, and this character. Look at this character. And then it's like, hinting at other characters. It's like, oh, here's Captain America's shield. Here, let me use it as a paperweight, says Tony Stark.
Yeah, like, Iron Man 2 started to be like, oh, here's Nick Fury. And I didn't mind it so much in the Iron Man movie because it kind of felt like Iron Man was the kind of like the anchor.
Yeah.
So what they were doing. So if they wanted to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man, I wasn't opposed to that. It was a little weird in Thor, a little bit, but I didn't really mind it that much.
Although I squealed like a girl when there was like the Hawkeye cameo. Mm. I'm like, Clint Barton. Oh my god.
Yeah, like in Thor, you can kind of take the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff as, oh, it's the government. You didn't really have to know any context, and we won't talk about any of that stuff in Captain America right now. But
no, sir, no spoilers.
Oh no, this will be full of spoilers.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. Out of all these Marvel movies, I was most concerned about Captain America.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I was really worried about how they would pull it off and how they would make everything tie together. But I like, after watching Captain America, I'm very excited for the Avengers movie. I like how they wound everything together. Like even little things that you happen to notice, like in the Incredible Hulk movie, when they were like, yeah, we have a sample of the Super Soldier Serum, or at least what we tried to replicate of it. And it, you know, who knows, they may have actually had the real Super Soldier Serum when they gave it to Emil Blonsky. Mm-hmm. Because, like, what they explained in the Captain America movie is that it amplifies you.
Right.
And so watching Emil Blonsky become a monster, you know, the guy was a bit of a jerk and, you know, he could be, you know, he's no Johann Schmidt, but he's definitely a jerk.
Yeah, so, like, just to talk about the, I guess first we'll talk about the way it ties into other movies. Johann Schmidt, the Red Skull, had the original version of the serum, and it turned him into, like, a red monster, basically.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see how in the Hulk, when they gave him a... Well, I guess they weren't using the Super Soldier serum in the Hulk, like on a Bruce Banner. It was something else.
It wasn't on Bruce Banner. It was on Emil Blonsky, but...
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, Hulk turned into a monster, like the other guy turned to a monster, so you can kind of make that link, like the way that they both became superhuman,
yeah.
You know, kind of mirrored each other.
Yeah, but like Bruce Banner had just the gamma radiation, you know, bombard
right.
him, while Emil Blonsky had both the bastardized version of the Super Soldier Serum,
mm-hmm.
as well as Hulk DNA with the gamma radiation. So, you know, maybe it was also because of the gamma radiation that the mutation went as far as it did. But this is just me nerding out.
I mean, at the beginning of Captain America, they had a lot of references to Thor and Odin.
Yeah, they did. I really like that.
And, like, the World Tree and all that.
And you know what's really interesting is I like how they took that part of that point of view on the World War II effort. Is because the Nazis were actually doing that. They were actually mm-hmm. trying to replicate the power of the gods, and they felt like they were going to come up with some mythical breakthrough to win the war. So
yeah, they even made reference saying like when Hitler is just searching through the sand for artifacts. Here, I have the real thing, and they made it very clear even in this movie that. This, like, the artifact they find isn't magic. It's just science we can't comprehend. And that's exactly what, in Thor, they were saying about everything. It's like, this is science to us. It's magic to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how they still maintained a mythical aspect to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it does make sense. You know, magic is simply science we can't really comprehend.
Well, I think normally we will be talking about this near the end of the review. So let's actually talk about the movie.
Well, why did people tune into the podcast?
Yeah.
That's right. Listen to us rant about a movie that they should see. Anyway, so
Captain America is a... Oh, sorry. Captain America is a period piece. It takes place in the 1940s, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it did a really good... job of like replicating the feel of that era.
Oh yeah, I like that. I really enjoyed that as well. Like it really helped. It just made everything fit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just made the whole situation, the whole universe. You know, this is an entire continuity. This is not like you know Earth as we know it, as you know where. Oh, suddenly there's Iron Man. No, it's that there were these fantastical things going on, these awesome things going on in their universe, basically. And everything was happening and everything was being awesome. So.
It was nice to see one of these Marvel movies that had the characters front and center.
Yeah.
And not like the special effects or the more like fantastical parts. It's like for the most part, Captain America is just a dude that runs around like trying to take down the Hydra. Like he doesn't have a superpower suit or
he doesn't have a superpower suit. He's not a Norse mythological being, and
thing remotely like that is the Cosmic Cube, and it really just kind of makes super powerful guns, like in this movie.
Yeah.
Which I admit, it was a little weird kind of seeing basically laser beams in the middle of this period piece, but...
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see, but, you know, honestly, Hydra is awesome like that. Like, I was sitting there, and I was thinking, you know what? Hydra makes the terrorist organization that catches Tony Stark in the first Iron Man movie... makes them look like a bunch of Boy Scouts. Like, You want to know how to be a terrorist organization? This is how you be a terrorist organization.
Yeah, you find Norse artifacts that makes you
become gods.
Become gods. Yeah, but like given the context of the overall continuity, then it made sense what was going on. My dad never saw Thor. He had a chance to see it, and we saw Captain America together. Captain America.
Yeah.
And I don't think he really had a problem with it, but I was wondering how he was going to take the kind of like, well, what is this cosmic cube? It's like, why is it important?
It's like, at times like this, I need to have Randy around to explain things.
Well, I explained to him that one of the main points in this movie was kind of explained in the extra scene in Thor a little bit. So the thing in this movie is from the movie Thor. Just so you know, that's kind of all he had to know.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of some of the casting, like Chris Evans as Steve Rogers?
At first, I was like, "What? The Human Torch? Come on, it's ridiculous!" I every time I see Chris Evans, I see douchebag. I mean, he plays Lucas freaking Lee in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I mean, the guy has a reputation of playing douchebags.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very surprised and happy to see that he could play, you know, an upstanding guy like Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's just really likable in this movie.
He's extremely likable. He's a good character that you can really relate to, you know, in a lot of ways where, you know, it's a good story about, you know, not giving up and not taking anybody's crap, you know?
Yeah, if he was like 6 foot tall at the start and he was like, "Oh, I just love America so much," I probably wouldn't have.
I just love it so freaking much!
If I can marry America, I would. But but since he was like a 5.5 90 pounds dork, basically, like he just had to really admire his spirit and all that.
Yeah, no, I like that their reasoning behind why he was chosen is he says, you know, the trailers say it even, but that a weak man would value power and respect it for what it is, while a strong man will, you know, take that power for granted.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, there's that one scene in the trailer where they actually showed him falling on the grenade.
And yeah, he leaps on the grenade while everyone else is jumping away.
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have seen that in a trailer, because that would have been pretty cool to see for the first time on the thing. So that's the moment where it's like, yeah, he's a hero. He's the guy we want. Tommy Lee Jones was all pretty cool in this movie.
Yeah, he was. I liked his character. He really plays that that mentor-y / military guy really well. He's always like that that voice that's like, no matter what you're going to do, you're not going to impress or please me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay, try your best and I'll give you credit where it's due, but you know, aside from there, you know, don't get on my nerves.
Yeah, and he was a hard ass, but he still had that soft spot. I really like the girl. I don't know her name.
Oh yeah, I forget her name. I forgot her name too.
Yeah, but it was nice to see a nice, strong female character that actually had a purpose. It didn't get a captured or whatever.
Yeah, who wasn't like, I'm a damsel in distress, save me.
Well, I guess most of the Marvel movies didn't really have that damsel in distress, but like in the Hulk, Betty's that her name?
Yeah.
Betty Ross. I mean, she was just baggage, more or less.
Oh, and, yeah. Totally.
Pepper Potts was just kind of in the background.
She was like, I'm here.
Yep. Natalie Portman, I don't know. She was like, ooh. When you don't wear a shirt, you're pretty hot. That was her role in Thor.
Yep. Oh, wow, you're kind of hot. And it's like,
thank you.
You know, I may be sick, just a little.
Bucky was good.
Yeah, I like Bucky's character.
Now, he comes back, right, in the comics?
yeah, he comes back as the Winter Soldier. He's like all, Captain America, you're such a jerk and I hate you. It's like, why are you so angry, Bucky?
You guys were buds. Did he become Captain America at one point in the comic, too?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, but he was good in the movie. I'm sure they'll have him back in a sequel where he's like half robot or something.
Yeah, because the Winter Soldier actually has cybernetics in him. Yep. And
who else? The German doctor, he was cool. Both the German doctors, I guess.
Yeah, the Sola and the doctor who came up with the super soldier serum. And then I liked when I saw the Dum Dum Dugan. I'm like, Dum Dum Dugan! Oh my gosh! I was so happy to see him.
Who's he?
He was the strong guy that with the awesome mustache and wore the
bullets. Oh, okay. Oh, so he was one of the soldiers that's never really expanded on much. And of course, Hugo Weaving as the Red Skull.
I know Hugo Weaving was amazing.
He was more scary without the Red Skull. I heard that I don't know how true this is, but I mean he wasn't interested in the part, but then like some fan communities started signing petitions or something. But he was also in another a Joe Johnson movie. So there's a lot of stars in these Marvel movies.
And I really dig that. It really adds to their appeal, you know?
And like I'm wondering, because they're big stars, how often they can appear in the sequels. Like, will Odin be in Avengers? Probably not. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like the girl in Thor, Natalie Portman's character. I mean, I'm after Black Swan, she's like a big Oscar winner now. Like, if she doesn't want, like, will she be another a Thor movie? I don't know.
Possibly. I hope so.
So, we thought the story was good too. Right.
Although, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm mostly excited about is for the Avengers movie, though. I'm so excited, and I'm even more excited finding out who the villains are going to be.
I think we probably know who the villains are. It's probably going to be Thanos.
Like I you hope suggested. So.
You notice that when Red Skull picks up the cosmic cube at the end, he kind of gets sucked into the outer space thing.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's important anyhow.
Yeah, anyway. I think so. Like, I hope it is, because like for the most part, he didn't. You know, it didn't look like he was being killed. It looked like he was being transported.
Yeah, you know? Like one thing that kind of disappointed me about that ending is, he basically picks up the cosmic cube and kills himself. There was no reason for him to do that. He just picks him up and maybe he doesn't die, but he defeats himself. I don't know. I just thought Captain America should have done something to lead to his demise.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, like how earlier he was like, "Well, I don't want to kill Nazis. I don't want to kill anybody. I just want to help." You know, and so. Ultimately, it's going to be...
Although he said later, I'm going to kill every Hydra person I see. So.
Well, yeah, after Bucky was killed.
Do you think that Nazis should have had a bigger part in it, or do you think it was more appropriate in a Marvel movie to have it be like Hydra?
I think it's more appropriate in a Marvel movie, especially for it to just be Hydra, because like the Nazi party, it's undone. It just gets undone. You know, it's not. It becomes a moot point at that. You know, in the end.
I did notice, like after they defeated Red Skull, that it seemed like the war was over. Like was that the case or?
I think should have. I think it like takes place near the end of World War II.
Okay.
And so that kind of makes sense. So I, in other news with, concerning the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
I found here that it's being directed by Joss Whedon.
Right.
Who is, well, basically the guy who made Buffy, Firefly, Dollhouse, I think.
Yeah.
And so like, I like that because I think that, I think that he's a great director. I think he's really good at storytelling. And, like, it's funny. One of the things that me and my wife connect the best on is we like a lot of the same media. And so, like, I'm like, yeah, I like Joss Whedon. And she, like this is back when we first met each other, but she, like, showed me her Serenity and Firefly collection. I'm like, because I really like Firefly a lot.
You mean the two DVDs?
Yep.
Serenity and then the Firefly collection.
Yeah, and so, like, I was really excited to see that, and but I really like Joss Whedon. I think he's a really good, like, he's really good talent to have on the set. That's for sure.
Well, one more point about Captain America. Was there anything that you thought they could have done better?
I have the same complaint as a couple of my friends do. That is, I feel like a lot of the fighting montages were a little, you know, it's. I would have liked to see more of the fight, but I understand the movie is kind of longish, and so, you know,
it's
they
2 hours,
kind of,
so it's about,
yeah,
it's about
they
kind
of had to move along. So I understand why they needed to cut it down a little bit, but I kind of wish, as you know, that they showed less battles, but more of each of those battles.
It would have been nice to see him, like, doing more of those missions and be more than just a montage. Like, it's like, now I'm the kick-ass Captain America.
Yeah, like, I would have wanted to see him ricochet his shield off of, like, five or six dudes and catch it.
And have a one-up appear when he hits the last one. What did you think of his costume?
I really liked that they went through different variants of his costume during throughout the course of the film. I really liked how they were trying to use him as a marketing tool in the beginning for Bonds. And you know, it would have made sense back in the day. That's what they probably would have done with him first. You know, he wasn't an actual formally trained military. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a soldier at the time, but he was the standing shining example of what America should be and why, you know, America's so great because of, you know, our work together and our determination. You know, he was a really good poster boy. And I really appreciate that they went as far as going. So when he was conceived, they didn't go, well, we have ourselves a new hero. Put him on the front lines. No, they were like, you know, this is really good to get. You want to help your country? Help us get Bonds because you're not a soldier yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how he just kind of took matters into his own hands. And he was fitted with all different kinds of outfits, so I really appreciate it.
Let's be honest, Captain America kind of has a stupid outfit.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, and I'm not.
Yeah, and like,
for those of you who already know that I always make people backpedal, I'm not backpedaling here. I'm agreeing, but anyway, I agree that Cap's outfit is a little silly sometimes. I mean, his the cowl can get a little ridiculous looking at times, but it's a costume that he's basically worked with since his conception. The cowl, the red, white, blue out uniform and things like that. But I like the update a lot, like the usual outfit he's wearing throughout the rest of the movie, his Captain America uniform.
Yeah, it's a little more like body armor a little bit. The colors are kind of muted. It kind of looks like army wear, and he has a helmet instead of
a cowl. Yeah.
And like, I think after watching the movie enough, you're like, okay, I can see why he wants to keep up this image of him being kind of like the poster boy of America.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, he just like he did in the old comics that he, you know, originally started. Captain America, him just showing up to a battlefield, him just showing up, you know, alongside the soldiers, that was enough for them to go, you know what, let's fight to our very last breath. Let's get this done, you know, because, like, Captain America, he isn't the guy who's like, yeah, I'm going to make the rules and sit back here behind the battlefield. No, he's like, I'm in the thick of it. I'm going to be fighting and dying next to my fellow soldiers.
I wish they had some of that, you know.
Yeah.
Like a
monologue or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think he could have really benefited from that because that would have made the people, you know, feel, You know what? Captain America is a very good leader. He's a very fit example of what a leader should be.
And yeah, like and like because this movie leads like directly into Avengers, if there's going to be a Captain America 2, which there is going to be, it's not going to be another World War II one. It's going to be in modern times because they just can't do anything else because at the end of the movie, he gets frozen.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I totally missed Howard Stark.
Oh yeah, Howard Stark. I like the Stark involvement. I really like how they portrayed Howard Stark in this because, like, in the comics, they don't really touch too much on Howard Stark. They really don't. They don't talk too much about Iron Man's dad. But like the way that he is so much like his son, it's ridiculous because he like. Like the little hovering car demonstration, for example, where he like doesn't even skip a beat. He's like, "Well, I said tomorrow, didn't I?"
Yeah, so it'll be a few years away.
Yeah, so I really like how they really captured the essence of the 40s as well, where you know people weren't making these unrealistic assumptions about things. That people were like, you know, they took things as they were, and you can see that in today's elderly as well. Where, you know, an older person, when they say something, they mean it. You know, it's kind of like they don't have a hidden simile or analogy behind it. It's just, you know, what's there is there. And I really like that the whole disposition they have for the time period in the movie was great. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I think this was a better movie than Thor.
I am forced to agree.
Yeah. Even though, like, I really like Thor, like, just as a movie, I think Captain America is better.
Like, they're both amazing, amazing movies, and I really like them both a lot. Not just because I'm a huge Marvel fanboy, but because I do appreciate a good movie now and again. Like, just a couple nights ago, no, it was last night, actually, I purchased the new Nightmare on Elm Street. And I saw it, you know, I pretty much compared it to the original. And I'm like, you know, this is the evolution in film, the evolution in what is scary. You know, it differs. It differs from the 80s to today. And I feel it's the same way with superhero films. If you watch superhero films back in the late 80s and mid 90s, they weren't quite the caliber that they are today because I feel like, When you're drawing a comic book, you can make that character do anything you want. You can make them fly through space. You can make them fight a giant robot. When you draw it out. But in cinema, when you're doing it, it's really difficult without that assistance that you need, the freedom to do whatever you like. And I'm really glad that in this decade, in this generation, that we have the technology to do that. That we have the technology to make it. Make those comic books that, you know, kids, when I was a kid, when I was reading those things, and, you know, when my grandpa was a kid, even, watching those characters do what they're doing in the panels, you know, I really feel like the evolution of the superhero genre, I'm willing to say that it's a full-blown genre now, it's a superhero.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's really come a long way, much like many of the other genres of movie. Especially in this day and age. I mean, you look back on the movies that you thought were great. Like, I watched, for example, when I say the evolution of horror, I watched The Exorcist, which was considered the most terrifying movie of its time. But I keep myself from laughing the whole time because it's not as scary to me because, you know, today, in this day and age, we got movies like Insidious and Paranormal Activity. When it's talking about, you know, dark forces that, you know, we can't see, they are just more capable of making more detail of what they're trying to write out. And that's what I feel like the same way with the comic book genre.
Well, it's going a little bit of a tangent
about that.
how movies have evolved over the years. Did you see Green Lantern?
Yes, I did.
So that's a movie that could absolutely not be made 20 years ago.
Oh, 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah. You
did not see any idea of what a Green Lantern movie would be because, yeah, it relies so heavily on the needing the special effects and stuff like that. Like, I can understand people griping about, I don't know, the digital Ryan Reynolds, you know, the suit not actually being a suit, but Ryan Reynolds. But honestly, what could you see yourself wearing a skin tight outfit? I mean, even if you had the ideal, the perfect body, would you, oh, sorry about that, hiccups. Would you want to wear that skin tight uniform, doing all these little stunts, doing all these little movements and stuff like that? No, that would be horrible. But I appreciate that what they did with the Green Lantern movie. I really like what they did with it. Now, I read a lot of reviews on it, and they're like, well, this didn't work, this didn't work, this was a little weird, and I felt like it was a little rushed. I'm like, I thought the pacing was great. I don't know. I guess it's just that I'm so saturated in action movies and things like that that I guess I just didn't notice the things that
I didn't have a chance to see it, but as a Green Lantern fan, you enjoyed it?
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed it, actually. Mm.
I heard a lot of kind of just average things about it, so when we had the choice to see that or X-Men's First Class, we decided to see X-Men.
Yeah, I saw X-Men as well, so.
Yeah, X-Men First Class was really good.
I really like the Logan cameo.
Oh, yeah. Captain America, what did you think of the closing scene?
The closing scene, like, at the end where...
Like, when he wakes up in modern
day. Oh, I really like how he kind of called the nurse on it. He's like, what year is it? She's like, oh, it's this year. He's like, no, it's not this year, because I was at the baseball game on the radio. What year is it? Who are you? What do you... You know, he wouldn't take the crap that they were trying to feed him, and he... I really liked how, like, his... Chris Evans did a really good job at, like, being completely dumbfounded by modern-day New York when he walked out there, and I thought it was really good. I really liked that.
I, like, as a fan of these movies and looking forward to Avengers, I was like, yes, you had to have this scene in here. I didn't think it was appropriate for the ending shot of the movie, personally.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Like, yeah, because...
Starting the movie on that note, I guess, would be okay. But
yeah, like it's okay that he had him, like they found him, because that kind of hints that, you know, he's still around. But like I was saying, Nick Fury and Iron Man, it's part of that movie franchise.
Yeah.
And for him to show up at the end of Captain America in a non-post credit scene. Just seems really weird. Like, what if people didn't see Iron Man? You know, then they won't know who that is.
Fortunately, he does actually introduce himself.
Oh, he does. But...
I'm Nick Fury, and I'm from S.H.I.E.L.D. and need your help. So
it's the same thing that like at the end of the Hulk that they had that scene in the bar. It's a great scene, but I felt that should have been the ending of the credit scene. Speaking of that, they did have a stinger at the end.
Yes, a
trailer for Avengers.
Oh yes, it was amazing. I loved it.
it was a teaser, but
yeah, I like when I watched it. You know, I was kind of expecting the usual the Marvel movie thing where it would do the little stinger and then go black. I'm like, hey, there's Captain America. He's totally beating up that punching bag. And what is this? What is this? And then I was there for the midnight showing, and so there were a lot of people there. And like when the theatrical music started playing, and it was like, by the way, this is a movie trailer at the end of the movie. everyone was cheering and hooting and hollering. It was the greatest.
So I can't really remember what they showed in that teaser, but they had like flashes, obviously, of Thor and Iron Man.
They had flashes of Thor, Iron Man, Captain America. I didn't see anything of Bruce Banner. If they did show Bruce Banner, I just definitely didn't.
Well, they never showed the Hulk, and that's probably because he's all CG, and it's probably not even.
Yeah,
it's not even done yet.
I saw some bits of Loki. I saw Loki a little bit.
Yeah, did they show like the? I forget the name of it, but the big floating fortress at all?
Oh, the Helicarrier? No, they didn't show that.
I think they mentioned like some people have mentioned that in interviews, so I think that's going to be in the movie. Yeah, so Avengers is probably going to have Loki. I mean, it is going to have Loki in it.
Definitely. I agree.
Like, it might have the Red Skull in it, but since he's Hugo Weaving, I don't really know for sure.
Yeah, be hit with that same kind of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Avengers is going to be pretty cool.
Oh, yes. It's going to be
great. It's going to be kind of neat.
Kind of. Just a little bit.
A little bit neat.
You know, Joey, you know what you could do is come here to Utah and see it with me in theaters.
No, that would be pretty neat.
That would be great.
Maybe we can make it happen. I don't know.
That would be awesome. You could sleep on my couch.
With the Furby.
With the Furby.
He'll be my guardian.
He'll watch you as you sleep.
And on that note,
yep.
Go see. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you've probably seen Captain America. So, watch it again.
Watch it 3 more times.
Buy it on Blu-ray.
And DVD.
And DVD. Even if the Blu-ray has the DVD in it, just buy it on DVD.
Just make sure you have it on DVD, at least.
Buy the soundtrack, buy the game.
Yeah, buy the game 3 times, too.
on each one of the consoles.
Every last one of them.
Yep. Even the ones they didn't make it for.
You're darn right.
All right, so you have a guest, so I shall let you go.
All right, fare thee well, people of the internet.
All right, see you guys later.
See you around, Joey, and yeah, later on.
See ya.
Bye. All right. Okay. We're clear?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Well, I'm going to go play the Xbox and stuff like that. It was fun doing another podcast with you.
All right.
You have my cell number. Text me.
Yeah, I think so.
You should text me. If you don't have it, I will text you, and you will go, oh, hey, it's Randy. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Believe it. So, yeah. All right, dude. I'll see you around then, okay?
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
See ya.